As the cinema calendar enters its final month of the year, multiplex screens are filling up with a host of small and large budget films, all vying for your box office dollars. And they're also in competition for one of the many year-end awards being bestowed by critics groups. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. The largest critics group in North America, the Broadcast Film Critics Association, released its nominations for the best films and filmmakers of the year. And joining me to discuss the nominations for the 23rd Annual Critics' Choice Awards is Philippa Solis, Executive Director of El Paso Pro Musica. Good morning, Philippa.
Good morning. It's wonderful to be here.
Great to see you. We've both been looking at a lot of movies. I should mention we're both voting members of the Broadcast Film Critics Association, the only two in the region.
That's right.
So we're a bit bleary-eyed, been watching two, three, four films a night.
Yes, and I started earlier because I'm also on the documentary committee, so
That's
it's
right.
just been one after the other.
Before we get into the nominations that came out this week, I thought it'd be interesting to talk about a little bit about the process, because what most people don't know is all these critics groups that are rolling out their best of year-end lists, and in our case, nominations for the upcoming Critics' Choice Awards, we've been getting since really September promotional materials, DVDs, letters, books,
soundtracks, presents. There were a couple of bottles of adult beverages too.
The disaster artist sent us some scotch, and vodka.
Well, I got Johnny Walker Red. But,
so there's this whole phantom thing that happens that most people are not aware of leading into all of these awards that are coming out now in December and January.
Well, you see, like, even in Variety magazine, how they just market for the Academy Awards. But when they know that you're a voter, they will go the distance. And what's kind of interesting, someone was saying to me recently, when you're watching movies, it's like work for you, too. But it's not, because there's something so magical, and it's just something about this time of year to receive movies, and I just feel so privileged to be able to see them and sit and just enjoy them. So when you love something, you're not working a day in your life.
I do feel bad sometimes, though, for the filmmakers whose work is being crammed together one after another every evening at my house.
That's true. There's sometimes it's just like it's very overwhelming. But I'm going to say something.
But the cream always rises to the top. I'm always surprised when I fill out my nomination ballot.
There's very few you can kind of go into the standard look at a screenplay, and 20 minutes in, And there are very few that you really have to go, I think we're good. But this year, I think there have been so many incredible films this year. I was overwhelmed by almost everything I saw.
It has been a very good year. Everyone who thinks that film is going downhill, I'm reminded every year when we get all of these films, many of which unfortunately still don't come to El Paso.
Right.
It is still a great time to be a cinephile. So let's dive in. Best Picture, run us down our list.
Well, we have The Big Sick.
The comedy.
Comedy, but brilliant. Call Me By Your Name, one of the most thought-provoking films of the year. The Darkest Hour and Dunkirk, which for me was very interesting, and I watched together, because you've got Winston Churchill dealing with this incredible battle, and then you've got the film of Dunkirk showing you the battle.
Right.
Tremendous timing. It was unbelievable. The Florida Project. What did you think of that film?
A fascinating little film that I was not into at the beginning, but by the end I was totally sold.
Exactly.
And it's a very low budget, there's no real actors in it, and it's mostly seven-year-olds that were following around this very low-budget motel on the outskirts of Disneyland, and it's sort of this alternative economy that's happening for the people who've been left behind by society and our economy.
Seven-year-olds and Willem Dafoe.
And Willem Dafoe. What a combination. Who would have thought? So I'm delighted to see that on our Best Picture list. And Get Out, another small film that has been holding its own all year. It came out earlier this year. Jordan Peele's first film. Lady Bird, another great small film that's out now. The Post, which hasn't been released. I think it comes out on Christmas.
This
is Steven Spielberg's film about the Washington Post in the 70s. The Shape of Water, which is out now, Guillermo del Toro's film. And Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. That rounds out our Best Picture list.
And The Shape of Water seemed to capture all of the attention of the members of the Broadcast Film Critics, because it had the most nominations. One of the most beautiful
14 nominations.
Unbelievable. But just getting back very, very briefly to Get Out, it was the kind of movie that you see that totally doesn't blow you away. It is so thought-provoking for days and days and days.
Yes.
The cast is brilliant. The concept is fantastic. It's actually a horror film. film, and wouldn't that be something if it walked away with the big, with the gold,
and
as
a
we
big
say.
Social commentary film in a
Absolutely.
Year that has seen a lot of unrest around racial politics in this country and violence. Just a brilliant, brilliant film by first-time feature filmmaker Jordan Peele, comedy writer and actor. And there is humorous elements to this, but it is deadly serious at its core. And a film when I saw in the spring, I thought this is my favorite film of the year so far, and it has remained in that slot until now. So Get Out. Out on Blu-ray, by the way.
It is. And it's the kind of film I'm very glad I saw in the comfort of my own home, because I'm that person that if you sit next to me at the movies, I'm going to talk because here I am. But with Get Out, I was just literally screaming and at the edge of my seat going, that's not happening. Get out.
One overlooked. I'm a bit surprised that Blade Runner 2049 is not on the best picture list. That's something that really resonated with me on a lot of levels,
yes.
Particularly all of the pitfalls they avoided in what could have been a disaster for a sequel to such an iconic film.
That's very, very true.
But I won't go into that. Best actor, another major category. We have Timothée Chalamet, a breakout year for him. He was in three big films, but he's nominated for Call Me By Your Name by Italian director Luca Guadagnino. Beautiful film. James Franco in The Disaster Artist, Jake Gyllenhaal in Stronger, Tom Hanks in The Post, Daniel Kaluuya from Get Out, a surprise. I voted for him, but
yes.
I didn't think he would make it into the best actor list, and I'm really happy he did. Daniel Day-Lewis for Phantom Thread, and Gary Oldman as Winston Churchill in The Darkest Hour 7. So there must have been some ties in our list, because usually we have five actors nominated here. Anybody you think is a front runner in that list?
It's going to be very hard to say. My secret dream would be to see Daniel Kaluuya win for Get Out. We haven't seen Phantom Thread just yet with Daniel Day-Lewis, but you say his name and it's generally going to be an incredible performance. Gary Oldman was really not only just intense, but how he captured Winston Churchill.
Just disappeared into him.
Oh, it was just a beyond method, if you will. Tom Hanks, The Post is a predictable film.
And it's an understated film. It's not, there's no big fireworks. It is a Spielberg film, so that's always popular. Tom Hanks is popular as an actor. It's a very good performance, but he and Meryl Streep are not over the top in this.
No.
And particularly since we have to say these early critics groups, it's really the road to the Oscars that the distributors are working us for. And when we get to that point, it seems like actors portraying historical figures always have a leg up.
That's very true. And it's very interesting when you have a film by Steven Spielberg, because out of the blue, before we received The Post, it was already being nominated for the National Board of Review. And I think as important as Steven Spielberg is in this industry, there are so many small films. There are so many special, interesting breakout performances. You talk about Jordan Peele. You talk about Timothée Chalamet.
Greta Gerwig, writer-director of Lady Bird, her first film.
Exactly. And so I hope that's awarded this year, The Substance, versus what we expect to see in Hollywood.
So a great year for women in film also.
Beautiful.
In front of the camera. Why don't you run us down the Best Actress nominees?
Jessica Chastain for Molly's Game, who always does an incredible performance. Sally Hawkins, who I can't even begin to describe what she did in The Shape of Water. Without being able to speak. I didn't want to give that away, but yes, without being able to speak.
I think if you watch the trailer, you'll know that.
You'll know that. That's very, very true. I'm so enamored with that film. Frances McDormand, who with under the Coen Brothers tutelage was always the most incredible actress and is always a win, but Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri is not only the most interesting name of a film I've ever seen, but she's brilliant. Margot Robbie is, what a fantastic performance in I, Tonya, and of course to I, Tonya, the story of Tonya Harding and what happened in that face.
A surprisingly good movie, I have to say.
I thought it was fantastic. It's kind of like a mini documentary within a film and a lot of really disturbing people. Saoirse, is that the way you pronounce her name? Tell me.
Saoirse Ronan, I believe.
Saoirse? Oh.
Lady Bird, the Irish actress.
I met her one year and I said, hi, what's your name? And she looked at me like
Miss Ronan.
Miss Ronan to you.
Lady Bird, excellent performance from her, really coming into her own as a woman. Meryl Streep at the other end of the age spectrum, always stalwart, but in The Post as the owner of The Washington Post in the early 70s.
I would have liked to have seen Annette Bening nominated for Movie Stars Don't Die in Liverpool. I know
right.
it was a small film.
Playing Gloria Graham at the end of her life.
It was, for me, it was very, very special. But it's a good list.
And I would also point out Sally Hawkins was great in another small film this year, Maudie, if mm-hmm. you ever come across that. The listeners find that, Maudie, about a Nova Scotia artist dealing with lifelong arthritis. It was a long shot, but I thought Deborah Winger was amazing in this little film called The Lovers. And it was just great to see Deborah Winger back up on the big screen.
She was very good in that. But we're lucky to have a good, strong list. Of course, Meryl Streep is always there and she scares everybody. But I think someone will come from behind. A Sally Hawkins, Frances McDormand win would be absolutely brilliant. But wouldn't it be fun to see Miss Ronan or even Margot Robbie?
We have a lot of unique categories the Broadcast Film Critics Association does for the Critics' Choice Awards, including Best Ensemble, Best Young Actor and Actress Under the Age of 21, and comedy categories and sci-fi horror categories, action film categories. So a lot of ways to promote great films. But was there any standouts for you this year, looking back over the year? We've just spent months looking at a lot of films that came out this year. Any threads or themes or impressions you have of the year in film?
I think we're getting to the basic core of human destiny this year and in film. Get Out is so very important as a message, as you talk about, with not just racial tension, but what's happening in the world. Even a film like Three Billboards, I don't want to give it away, but it's a mother's despair. There's stories about people who are human beings.
Yeah.
And that's why The Post was a film that didn't overwhelm me, because it was the big story and the big picture. Whereas if you're going to have that, a film like Dunkirk or The Darkest Hour shows people at their worst turning something into the very best. And so I think...
So ultimately they were hopeful.
I think there's more hope. I think there is more just attention placed on actors and actresses who make a difference, who never were acknowledged prior to this. I think having nominations for actresses like Octavia Spencer, it's very important because mm-hmm. their roles are brilliant. They're very talented and they need to be
Mary J. Blige got Mudbound nominated for Best Supporting Actress, as you say, Octavia Spencer from The Shape of Water.
And Hong Shao in Downsizing.
I think tying into that, one of the impressions I'm left with watching all of these films from an industry perspective is that we really have made a shift away. The main legacy studios are no longer supporting small and moderate budget films. Mm-hmm. And you see a lot of people filling in that void amazingly. We saw so many films from Netflix, Amazon, A24, Annapurna, on and on and on. Just these smaller distributors and great directors going there. So, Philippa, always great to talk film with you. I guess we'll have to go and rewatch all of these films now before
yes,
our final voting. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you for having me. It's always fun to talk film with you.
I've been discussing the just-released nominations for the 23rd Annual Critics' Choice Awards with Philippa Solis, fellow voting member of the Broadcast Film Critics Association and executive director of the El Paso Pro Musica. For a complete list of nominated films and filmmakers, log on to CriticsChoice.com, and you can watch the Critics' Choice Awards live on Thursday, January 11th on the CW Network. On Film's engineer and editor is Lauren Terrazas. An archive of past programs is available on this station's website at ktep.org. I'm Charles Horak. Thank you for listening to On Film.